Welcome to another podcast by Every Nation Brisbane. We're so glad you can join us here today. For more information about our church, visit us on the web at enbrisbane.org. Please enjoy the following message.
Acts 2 verses 42 to 47. And they devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and the fellowship, to the breaking of bread and the prayers. And all came upon every soul, and many wonders and signs were being done through the apostles. And all who believed were together and had all things in common. And they were selling their possessions and belongings and distributing the proceeds to all, as any had need. And day by day, attending the temple together and breaking bread in their homes, they received their food with glad and generous hearts, praising God and having favor with all the people. And the Lord added to their number, day by day, those who were being saved.
Let's all bow our heads in prayer, everybody. Father, we thank you so much, Lord God, that you embody for us everything we're going to talk about with regards to generosity. I thank you, Lord, that you freely have given yourself to us. And Lord, we're gathered here today, Lord, in the sight of who you are. I thank you, Lord, for your generous grace towards us. Lord God, that you are so loving and kind. And Lord, out of this loving kindness that we have personally experienced, or for those of us even in this room that have not yet experienced your kindness, I pray, Lord, that there would be an immersion in your spirit, just understanding how awesome you are and how great your love is for us. I pray you would illuminate the scriptures for us as we delve into your word today. Activate us, Lord. Let this service not be transactional. Let it be transformational. We pray in Jesus' name. And everyone said amen. Amen. Say hi to three people before you take a seat. I see a lot of new faces in the house this morning. Can we give it up for those who are here for the first time? Welcome, welcome. We're so glad you are here. We hope you feel at home and welcome here at Every Nation Brisbane. My name is Nelly. I'm the senior pastor here at Every Nation Brisbane. We have, as was mentioned in the video, we have two locations. One is running right now at Woodridge in Logan. So we have our Every Nation Logan congregation there. And you're now here with us at our central location. So we're really, really blessed that you would join us here today. And I'm just blessed all of our family are here today this morning. I really believe that as we're going through this series called On the Job, and it's not just talking to those who have a job, but I really believe that for those of us who are studying, this applies to every single one of us. And so a lot of the principles that we're going to be talking about are talking about how we can exemplify, how we can be a shining light to those who are in our society and those who are around us. And even if you're in this room today and you may not have a faith in God yourself, my prayer is that God, beyond my words or beyond our capacity and ability to run a service, you would encounter the Holy Spirit yourself, that He is more than able through His loving kindness. This is what the Bible says. Through His loving kindness, He draws all men and all women to repentance. And that's my hope for you this morning. So today we're going to be talking about the topic of generosity. I wanted to ask you this question here. This is the question I wanted to ask you right at the top of my message. Is what is the most generous act you've witnessed someone do? What is the most generous act you've witnessed someone do? I have seen people and I have friends that have both been recipients and givers that have been so generous that it just blows my mind. And it's such a great example of what how Christians should live. I think when we have a society that focuses on what we have as being tools for giving rather than for hoarding or to getting, it's amazing how we would be able to, like, think about it. If we all were able to give the way that God had called us to give, we would eliminate world poverty without a shadow of a doubt, and still have an abundance for ourselves to live upon if we all were generous in the way that God has called us to be generous. I've seen people give away cars, houses, property, that sort of thing. It's just been amazing just to see when people are giving in that sort of sense. And, you know, sometimes I often think about the question, well, if I had $1 million, then I can afford to be generous. How many of you know it starts with the condition of your heart right now? The most generous person that I know personally is Tina. I can say this now because she walked out of the room, so you can tell her. So I get some, what we call in the Philippines, pogi points, right? Which is handsome points. But I remember You know, like when we were courting and in our courtship, just even before we were courting, like one of the things that really attracted me to her was her generosity. She would take whatever she had and give it away. She was always the one racing to the counter to pay for lunch. Still is, you know, always the one who's looking for an opportunity anytime she sees a need to give that stuff, the stuff that she might have away. And I found that so attractive until we started dating and then we started courting, then we got engaged and we got married. And how many of you know where the biblical design, not the Spice Girls, is that two become one, right? That we all become one, and then everything that is hers is mine, everything that is mine is hers, or something like that. Everything that's hers is hers and mine is hers, some people would say, right? And then, you know, like, generosity is cool and it's admirable, but when it becomes your stuff, then you start to, so we're one now. We have to be generous. And I have to admit to you all, church family, that God has utilized my wife to disciple me in the areas of generosity. That actually, when I think about how giving, it really becomes giving when it starts to hurt. When I think about the act of generosity that exemplifies ultimate generosity, I think about the cross of Jesus, who gave beyond it hurting in order to rescue us from our sin. And so here's where we land with it, right? We must ask ourselves, not asking the question or even proposing that, you know, until we get to a level of wealth or a level of having stuff, then we will be able to give. But it's a matter of asking the question, am I faithful with what God has put in my hand right now? And it may not be money. It may not necessarily be money. So the students are starting to breathe now. What do you mean? How many of you know that you can be generous with time? You can give time. What are ways you can be generous with your time? It's by being generous with your time, you are using time as seed as well. You know, you may not have the wealth of somebody on the Forbes list, but you definitely have the same amount of time that they have. And so utilizing the hours that you are awake to be able to serve others, to give of yourself for others. A way that could be helpful is like looking at those of us who are, I won't say older, I'll just say more seasoned, pepperish, is to be able to give of our time to pour into the next generation. Like, how can we faithfully pour into the next generation so as to extend what God might be doing for the furtherance of the next generation? The tendency is here in Australia is for us to focus on ourselves and what's going to advance ourselves. But how many of you know that this life is finite and we will eventually die? And so utilizing time as a vessel for generosity, as seed, can also be a beautiful way to spend your time where it outlasts you. So when your time expires, it multiplies itself in the way that you've poured into the next generation. That's just one opportunity. The other opportunity that you might think about in terms of generosity, obviously, is financially and time, is also serving the community, serving in the church to help advance God's kingdom, serving and volunteering elsewhere, giving of yourself. Serving is the way. This is one of the most real passages in the Bible. Haggai, how many of you read Haggai recently? Haggai, I didn't know that's what, how it's pronounced. I thought it was Haggai. Haggai, chapter 1, verse 4 says, "Is it time for yourselves to dwell in paneled or luxurious houses while this house of the Lord lies in ruins?" That's pretty real, right? One way that we can be generous is in the way that we take care of God's house. Now, I'm not just talking about this physical building, although in that video we did talk about that the building, but I'm also talking about building up the people. You know, anything that we have is to help build people up. So like whether it's the utilization of this venue or the utilization of the gifts that lie within this house and within our church community, it's to be generous as a vessel that God might use to transform this society. Last week, I talked about biblical model of friendship. And I think that when we go back to the passage that I landed on right at the end, which is John chapter 15, verse 13, "Greater love has no one than this, than someone lay down his or her life for his or her friends. That is generosity. That is the ultimate form of generosity, where you give your life away. To all my brothers in here, whether you're married or single, okay, when Paul the Apostle, who wrote the book of Ephesians, exhorts husbands, or those who are preparing one day to be husbands, it says our responsibility is to love our wives in the same way that Christ loved the church, laying down his life for her. Some of us say, yeah, I'll lay down my life. Start with the remote control, maybe. You know? Okay, you're meddling, Pastor Nelly. But when we look at the cross, when we look at the cross of Jesus laying down his life for us to be set free from sin and eternal death and separation from God, what we are witnessing there is the ultimate sacrifice of generosity. So let's go to this passage that Lana read so well. Acts chapter 2. I don't just want to launch into this passage without addressing what comes before it. For those of you who are familiar with the Christian journey, after Jesus dies, he's resurrected on the third day, and he spends time with the disciples, and then upon his ascension, he gives them this, because they're all trying to guess what he's about to do. Okay, are you going to wipe out the Roman Empire? And Jesus says, it's not the time or the date that you should know about. This is what you should know. I will give you the Holy Spirit and power to be my witnesses in Jerusalem, Judea, and Samaria, and to the ends of the earth. And then he gets lifted into the clouds. He ascends. Better than a Beyonce concert. He just starts ascending into the clouds and disappears. And they're like, oh, hey. So you just leave us like that. But and they're waiting for this Holy Spirit and power. And rightfully so, for 10 days, they are in this, what the Bible calls the upper room, in prayer. Because they don't know what to do. I mean, there's a sermon in that. When you don't know what to do, get in your upper room and pray. How many of you find yourself in that situation even right now? So they spend 10 days praying and seeking God, worshiping him. And then after 10 days, it just so happens on the Hebrew calendar, it's the day of Pentecost. And in Pentecost, this is when the Holy Spirit comes upon these people who are in this prayer room. And what appears to be tons of fire, appears on top of their heads. And then they start to speak in other tongues. Now, this is undiscernible tongues, but also tongues in terms of glossolalia, which means other earthly languages. For those of you who are a bit Bible nerdish like me, I like paralleling that with what happens in Genesis 11, because in Genesis 11, they all got together, but they sought to seek their own empire by building the Tower of Babel, and God confused their languages, and what was intended to be something that was good in terms of unity, but unified against God, God caused confusion. It's the only place in the Bible where you see God confusing people. But these guys came together, and the Bible says they came together in one accord, seeking God for what he might do, and then God does miraculous things in that place. Tons of fire appear, and there's two levels of feedback that are given. One level of feedback is that they are amazed that, wow, look at that Filipino guy speaking Samoan. Look at that Samoan guy speaking Spanish. Look at that Hispanic guy. Or look at that Brazilian guy, and he's speaking Chinese. He's speaking Mandarin. They're all speaking different languages. So some of them are amazed. There's a bunch of others that are critical. There's always, how many of you know, whenever there is spiritual advancement, there's always spiritual resistance. And so what happens is the Holy Spirit falls. Peter is ignited. Those of you who aren't familiar with the Bible, Peter is one of Jesus' disciples. And he was the gung-ho guy, kept putting his foot in his mouth. He'd always say, yeah, 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 and then end up, nah, 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 right? So like there was one time before Jesus dies, he says, yes, I will be with you till the end. I will never deny you. And then that same night, he denies that he even knows Jesus three times because Jesus is arrested and he fears for his life. So that same guy who's timid, he's in the room at that time. The Holy Spirit falls on him. He preaches from a book called Joel in the Old Testament. And 3,000 people come to know Jesus that day. They come into faith. the transformation of the Holy Spirit happens. I need us to understand this from the start before I break down this passage, is that generosity, true Christ-centered generosity, can only start when the Holy Spirit changes you from the inside out. You can't be generous according to Jesus in terms of being Christ-centered in your generosity until you experience His generosity first. Otherwise, there's always an alternate agenda to your generosity. Let me say that again. Without Christ at the center of your generosity, there's always an alternate motive behind your generosity. Whether it's having your name on a plaque that everybody sees, or it being announced. Or, you know, was it you? Was it really you? Oh, no, no, see, Lord, see, Lord. Just so you can say that. I'm proud to be humble. It's like that guy that won the award for being humble, and then he got it taken off of him because he put it on his shelf. Right? Humility is always supposed to be transformational from the inside out. And that's where we meet this passage that Lana read for us. Acts chapter 2, verse 42. You can go there in your own Bible if you have one on your phone or whatever. Or you can just follow me on the screen. And they devoted themselves. So of these 3,000 people that come to encounter Jesus, they devote themselves. Because it's kind of like, okay, what do? We had this meeting. And let me just say this. A lot of us meet God at these meetings or these camps or these conferences. And that's great, but it doesn't stop there. There's always a continuation, because unless Jesus transforms you from the inside out, it should play out in the way that you live your life, including on the job. And so how does it work out? How does this transformation work itself out in the way we live? In verse 42, they devoted themselves. Everybody say devoted. We live in Australia. Congratulations, you realize that now. We live in Australia. And we're a nation that our devotion can be very flippant. As long as it works out to our benefit, we will be devoted. But what happens if, whether it's relationally, and it can be anything, right? It can be your loyalty to your sports teams. I'm a true blue Brisbane Broncos fan, right? Even when we're not doing so well, I'm still loyal. Praise God, we're on the mend. But, you know, like, sometimes it's hard to be loyal to sports teams. Like, for any of you who are Lakers fans right now, you a Lakers fan, Elijah? We'll pray for you. 0-5, and you've got LeBron James, one of the greatest players of all time, on your team. It's sad. But, you know, you're loyal. You're loyal, see? Some of you are Lakers fans, and you wouldn't even admit it right now. But this is devotion, right? And I'm being flippant talking about basketball teams, but or rugby teams or league teams, but let's move beyond that. How about relationally? When things don't go right and you reach conflict, are you going to abandon disloyalty, or are you going to fight for unity? They devoted themselves. Notice the word themselves, meaning that they are a group. Again, here in Australia, we have a tendency towards being very individualistic, where I come to church what I can get, not what I can also be a part of and how I can walk together. Church is a we, not an event. Let me say that again. Church is a we, it's not an event. So what you are seeing here in this verse is the first mention of the Christian church. When we talk about interpreting the Bible, we use a term called hermeneutics. And one of the laws of hermeneutics is the law of first mention. So when you see a theme run throughout the Bible, you know, before this, it's the people of Israel. But when we get to the New Testament, it's the church. And this is the first mention of what the church looks like. So we should take a note of everything that's expressed here, because we want to see how we are to be as the church. So they devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and to the fellowship and to the breaking of bread. How many of you like food? Amen. Amen. It's biblical. And prayers. So let's break this down. They devoted themselves to what? Firstly, they devoted themselves to teaching. They were taught together. This is important. Because when you are taught in a group, then there is accountability for what is being taught. We live, again, in a society where a lot of people can be individualistic with the way they receive teaching. It's just me and you two. How many of you know that can be dangerous? Right? But if collectively we're walking as a community, there's accountability in the way we walk together, also for the teacher who is teaching. But I love that the apostles are generous. Don't you realize, like, there's this, you know, if it was really about the hierarchy of the structure, like, people like Peter and people like, even guys like Bartholomew. You don't hear about Bartholomew. Bartholomew's name, you know, Bart for short. He's actually one of the disciples. You don't read much about him, apart from the name. His name was mentioned when they were naming the disciples. But can you imagine? Bartholomew's like one of the apostles. He's like, I don't have time to teach because I am Bartholomew. I am one of the selected of Jesus. So I don't have time to spend with you low-life peasants. Like, imagine if that was his attitude. No, they were generous with their time and taught. They were teachers. They made sure that what they had, they imparted to the next generation. They had to. So on one level, brothers and sisters, we need to be open to teaching, good, solid teaching, teaching of the Word of God. I, as your pastor, am committed to make sure that the teaching that is expounded in this church is good, solid, biblical teaching, because there is a lot of non-biblical teaching out there that kind of looks like the Bible, but isn't. And it's dangerous if we put ourselves in that sort of situation. Secondly, not only were they taught together, but they were in fellowship. Everybody say fellowship. They lived in allegiance to one another, okay? It's not only receiving the teaching. And this can be the danger right now, right? When we walk into a room that's super darkened and all you see lit up is those who are on stage. So you come to hear a bunch of people who appear to be experts, but you don't engage with those who are around you. Church is meant to be a community, and we are meant to engage with one another. And I know that takes a lot more effort, especially when we are such a diverse, intercultural group of people. Intentionally, we are that. And that needs to be that way, because I don't read anywhere in Scripture where there is a Polynesian section of heaven and a Southeast Asian section of heaven and those who speak Arabic section of heaven, right? That we are all going to be together in one accord. In fact, we should be in one accord on earth as it is in heaven, because that's when the Holy Spirit falls, like here at the Pentecost, right? They're devoted to teaching, but they're also devoted to walking the teaching out together. Brothers and sisters here in Australia, I know this is mad countercultural, but you are called to walk together as a community and do your Christianity alongside others. This is so vital. Don't fall into the trap of the Australian dream, which is contrary to the heavenly dream for your life, which says just care about your own, only those who are within the four boundaries of your fence line. What you have within your fence line is meant to be a blessing to the community, a blessing to those who are around you, both the saved and the unsaved, both the church and the lost. Thirdly, they devoted themselves. I love it that they devoted themselves to breaking bread. I think that's cool. Some of us don't need to be devoted. It's natural, right? Like me, it's just natural. But some of us need to recognize that it's not just the breaking of bread, but when you get together, how many of you know, like, deeper conversations happen when you've got food on the table in front of you? More than just, how are you? Fine. How's the weather? Great. Okay, we had a good conversation. No, like, when you have food, number one, you are seated most of the time. In Hebrew culture, you would sit on the floor. But, you know, for those of us who are going to lunch afterwards, which I imagine is all of us, like, we have the opportunity to be seated. When you are seated, you are more relaxed. Turn to somebody, tell them, relax. God's got you. When you are seated, you're relaxed. And usually the breaking of bread would happen at people's homes where they live. So you can see the way I live. I can see the way that you live. The invitation to somebody's home is saying, look, I'm willing to be vulnerable for you to come into our home and our house. And they would sit and they would eat and they would go deeper into conversation. The generosity with the time, with the provision of resources to be able to pay for the food, or to make the food, which if you were to make the food, would cost you time and resources to get the ingredients. It's a display of generosity. And in that generosity, within that sphere, you would also take time to be devoted to prayer. So you can already see a generosity that is emerging here. They are devoted to these four things. They're devoted to making sure that they are receiving good, solid teaching in the context of community. They're making sure that they are carving out time for deeper relationship and fellowship. And this usually happens, thirdly, in the breaking of bread or the breaking of lechon. Hallelujah. Or the breaking of plantain, the breaking of taro, whatever your choice of carbohydrates is. Rice is life. Break it and have fellowship together. Amen. And then lastly, among sharing meals, they also shared in prayer together. This is so vital. Look for opportunities to pray for one another. And in verse 43, let's move forward. For verse 43, and it came upon, awe came upon them. Everybody say awe. Awe came upon them on every soul. And many wonders and signs were being done through the apostles. So there were miracles being done. It was a natural byproduct of the unity and the generosity. Let me say this again. Unity and generosity are perfect environments for the miraculous to happen. When you are unified in the Holy Spirit and you are generous with your resources and in pursuing God, chasing after Him, loving your neighbor, it provides a perfect environment for the miraculous to happen. When there is deep prayer, deep fellowship, deep breaking of bread, deep study and teaching of the Word together as a community, God wants to do the miraculous. God wants to commit signs and wonders in your presence. He wants to heal. He wants to miraculously provide. But it comes in this environment of unity in the Spirit and generosity. Signs and wonders. Now again, we don't worship the signs. You don't just come to church for the signs, right? It'd be like me going to the Gold Coast, being on the M1, seeing a sign that says 20 kilometers to the Gold Coast. And then I get out and say, wow, what a beautiful sign. I pull over and I start bowing down to the sign. But many of us as Christians are like that. We refuse to worship Him unless there's signs. The signs aren't the point. The point of the signs is to point us towards the source of the sign. Right? Many signs and wonders were being done through the apostles, and all who believed were together and had all things in common. And they were selling their possessions and belongings and distributing the proceeds as any had need. Brothers and sisters, there are needs in this room. There are needs within our community. And there may be, it's not that we're called to solve the world's issues, but even in our office, when we hear somebody is in need, we must ask ourselves, God, how might you be utilizing me to be generous in this environment? Again, this has to flow out of us encountering the generosity of God firstly. Right? Then we understand that the things that we have don't really belong to us. They belong to God in the first place. So we move beyond familiarity to this place of awe. The danger is that we use the word awe or awesome for so many things that we fail to sit and be in awe of who God is. When's the last time that you sat in wonder and in awe of what God has done in your life? Think about it. I'm going to give you like 30 seconds right now to think about how good God is and giving you the life that He's given you to this point. Think about it for a moment. Let me just give you 30 seconds. Right now, just close your eyes and think about it. Don't fall asleep, just close your eyes and think about it. Just how good God has been for a moment. I just want to give you this opportunity to meditate on it. God is good. God is good, isn't He? Like we used to say at the old church, God is good and all the time, right? Come on. Has He been good to anybody in here? But often because we're craving the next, we're looking at what we don't have, we don't have time to think about what we are already blessed with. You realize you've got blessings in your garage that you haven't touched. For 10 years, that could be a gift to someone. But no, we're craving for something else that we can fill our garage with. So it's giving ourselves away for others, right? Verse 45, and they were selling their possessions and belongings and distributing the proceeds to all as any had need. So anytime there's a need, it should surface in our hearts. Lord, how would you have me be a blessing? And here we go. Verse 46, and day by day, everybody say day by day. So on a regular basis, if this is what the church was doing day by day back then this is something for us to consider in our lives day by day. Day by day, they were attending the temple together, breaking bread in their homes, and they received their food with glad and generous hearts. I love that. So again, differentiating. We are the church. They attend the temple. So what you're doing right now, I know we don't have temples here, but you are attending a worship service. But you are the church. Sure, we can say, I'm going to church. But really, we are the church, Monday to Sunday, day by day. And so we walk together as community. We're always conscious of how we might be able to take our schedules and be intentional around the white spaces in our schedule to say, okay, how can I use this to make sure that I have rest? But also, are there portions of my white spaces on my schedule that I can actually utilize to be generous with others? Or how can I position myself so that I can give more resource, give more of my time to help others? And they received their food with glad and generous hearts. Don't you like that the Bible encourages eating food together? That's why I like being a Christian. Not the sole reason, but like, that's one of the reasons I like being a Christian, is because my Jesus loves to eat with people. He loves to fellowship around food. And they were praising God and having favor with all the people. And the Lord added to their number day by day. Everybody say day by day. Those who were being saved. The first mention of the church is around the power of how the Holy Spirit moves in their unity, transforms them from the inside out, and they take everything that they have, devote themselves to making sure that their lives line up with the teaching of the Word of God and in prayer, and then they take everything and give it out. Why? Because they worship a God who gave it all out for them. It starts there. Because if it doesn't start there, it's going to sound like a task. Here goes Pastor Nelly expecting things from us. Firstly, it's not me. I'm just reading the Bible. All right? Secondly, it starts with us experiencing God. If you haven't experienced Him, start there. Your generosity will flow out of your revelation of the generosity of God first in your life. So here's three things that we can learn from this model of the church in Acts chapter 2 for our lives. And I'm not just talking about us as an organization. I'll take responsibility for that with our staff to make sure we create that environment, and also for our life group leaders and so forth. Consider this as we break this down, these three things. But I want us, everybody who's in this room that is a follower of Jesus, let's look at these three things that should be models for us in how we should live out our lives in Jesus. Firstly, the church is to be God's model for generosity in society. The church is to be God's model for generosity in society. Again, organizationally, that should happen. But you are the church too. So even individually, as you are in your workplace, considering where God has put you in your work, how might you be a model for generosity within the sphere that God has called you to? For all my students in here, all my campus students studying at UQ, QUT, Griffith, TAFE, wherever you're studying at, think about this. God has put you in one of the top educational establishments in the country. And in certain educational establishments that I've mentioned, some of them are the top in the world. God has specifically put you there, not just to study and get a certificate, but He's put you there for this time to be a godly influence, to be the salt and the light of generosity within your sphere of influence. How might you use that platform that God has given you within your lecture theaters, within the faculties that you study in, to be a light of generosity, to be an example of a giving God? I often hear this lie. How many of you have heard this lie in your conversations? That it's a radical belief in religion that causes all the wars to happen in society. How many of you have heard that? That's only true if your center is not true. When I think about the Amish in the northeast of the United States, how many of you are familiar with the Amish? They are radical in their religiosity, radical in the way that they dress conservatively, radical in the way that they don't use certain technology, radical in the way that they stick to the scriptures in terms of their understanding, but their core is around Christ and the belief in a God who gave himself away. Now, we may think their practice is a little different, right? But I don't hear about Amish terrorists. They're radical. See, if we have a radical love and generosity, these are the things that we're supposed to be radical with. When I look at the word radical, I see Jesus on a cross. That's radical. A radical love poured out for you and I. And out of that radical love, we can be radical in our generosity. It's not dependent on the amount of resources you have. It's just dependent on your heart having that revelation of what he's given to you so that you can give it away. Because guess what? It's not yours in the first place. Secondly, Christ-shaped generosity is birthed out of deep and daily, day by day, encounters with Christ and with other believers. Okay, it's important that we walk in community. It's important that we walk together and grow together, devoting ourselves to teaching so that we can grow in our faith. But Christ-centered generosity is birthed out of this deepened revelation of who he is through day by day encounters with him and with one another. Again, in Australian society, there will always be a temptation to isolate. And this pandemic has done a number on that, endorsing it even more, that you should isolate from others. You can do this yourself. I mean, to tell you, that's a lie from the pit of hell. He's coming back for a church. He's coming back for a collective bride, not brides. He's coming back for a church that is unified around him without spot or wrinkle. Why? Because of his generous love that has forgiven us and cleansed us from all sin. That's his beautiful bride he's coming back for. And then thirdly, our generosity is directly related to the revelation of the generosity that God has in us and starts in our hearts, not in the act. It starts in our hearts. Recognizing his generosity, not acting our way out of a non-revelation of who he is because of an alternate motive that we might have. I'm going to close by reading again from the scriptures, and I just want you to hear this. This is from Paul. Paul was reached as a part of the ministry that came after this revelation, right? And he was the apostle to the Gentiles, so those who were not Jewish, of Jewish descent. And he's writing this to the church at Corinth, one of the most influential cities in the Mediterranean. And he's writing this to the church there because they're not operating with this generosity that we're talking about. And here's the challenge, both to the church at Corinth, but I want us to let this scripture just run over our souls. It's 2 Corinthians 9, and it says this. It says, your help, Lord, to move it forward. The point is, whoever sows sparingly will also reap sparingly. Whoever sows bountifully will also reap bountifully. Each one must give as he or she has decided in his or her heart, not reluctantly or under compulsion, for God loves a cheerful giver. And God is able to make all grace abound to you so that having all sufficiency in all things at all times, you may abound in every good work. As it is written, he has distributed freely. He has given to the poor. His righteousness endures forever. He who supplies seed to the sower and bread for food will supply and multiply your seed for sowing and increase the harvest of your righteousness. You will be enriched in every way to be generous. Let me read that again so you get that in your spirit. You will be enriched in every way to be generous in every way, which through us will produce thanksgiving to God. Now I want to pray for two groups of people here this morning. I want to pray for those of us who may be here and you're saying, in your spirits, you're saying, you know what, I really want to give my life over to this generous God. Like, I've been living, focusing on myself, and I'm recognizing this morning, Pastor Nelly, that I really want to give my life over to trust in this generous God. The second group of people I want to pray for are those who are committing to say, you know what, I am already following Jesus, and I recognize the conviction of the Holy Spirit to know that everything that this world has blessed me with comes from God anyway. So I want to be a vessel that is used for God. I want to learn of the Holy Spirit. I want the Holy Spirit to grant me the grace to be generous. Those are the two groups of people that I want to pray for this morning. So I'd invite everybody to just bow their heads and close their eyes this morning. And if you're in this room today, just for the first group of people, and your desire is to give your heart over to Jesus and to say, God, I know that I've been focused on myself to this point, but you've convicted me by your Holy Spirit. And just seeing how generous you have been to me in saving me and delivering me, and giving me your son Jesus to save me from eternal death and separation from you. I receive your forgiveness and your love. And I want to walk in you. If that's you today, just the first group of people, I want you to lift your hand right where you are, because I want to pray specifically for you. If that's you. Lord Jesus, I just pray for those of us who are making that commitment today to receive you. Lord, we thank you that we can receive gladly your salvation as we put our trust in you. Lord, we pray that you would have your way in our lives. We commit our lives to you. We declare that our lives belong to you, that we are yours and you are ours. Thank you for your generosity. In Jesus' name. For the second group of people, if you're in this room today and your desire is to say, you know what, God, everything I have belongs to you anyway, and I want to be activated in the generosity that you have given me, so I want to take this stand for you. If that's you today, just stand to your feet. I want to pray specifically for those of you who have that desire to be utilized by God, to be generous, his generous vessels. This is awesome. Many of you who are standing, I already know you're already generous, but it's just taking that stand and saying, man, you know what, God, I want to continue to be utilized by you. It's awesome, awesome. Thank you, Jesus. Father, you see my brothers and sisters that are taking that stand today. I'm here taking the stand as well, Lord God, as somebody who has stuff, has time, has finances, has things that you've blessed me with, blessed us all with. And Lord, as the vessels that you've, you know, just chosen to take this stand to be utilized by you, God, I pray, Lord, that you would, in line with that promise, that we would be enriched in every way, to be generous in every way. Lord, that as we put our trust in you, I thank you that we will lack no good thing. Lord, that in terms of us trusting you, we know that you will pour into us. We don't trust just our jobs or our investments to take care of us. We trust in you, Holy Spirit, to take care of us, to take care of our finances. We will not be stressed about these things. But Lord, understanding that the very things that you give us are opportunities to worship you. So Lord, we, as by taking this stand, we are saying, God, everything we have belongs to you. Help us to utilize the things that we have to be a blessing to those that don't know you. We pray, or I pray right now, Lord God, for salvation, for those who are around us that don't know you yet, Lord, that out of our generosity and love be a light and the salt to the world, Lord God. I thank you that you've called us to be vessels that will carry your gospel in our workplace, Lord God, in the clubs and the areas of our life, Lord God, that we get to be a part of, the groups that we get to be a part of. Father, I'm praying, Holy Spirit, that you would guide us to be to operate in our generosity. Lord, look into our hearts, look into our lives. Lord, if there is any selfish way within us, Lord, I pray you would do that work to expose it, Lord, that we look a lot more like you, Jesus. Father, I thank you. I thank you, Jesus, that everything that we have is because you are a good God who has given this to us. Thank you for this life you've given us in this great nation of Australia, Lord God. We count it a blessing to call this place home. Lord, whether it's for a season as we're studying or as we're working or for our lifetime, Lord God, we do count it a blessing that you put us here in this nation. And Lord, with this blessing, we know that we are blessed to be a blessing. In Jesus' name. And everyone said amen. Amen. Give him praise, everybody. Take a moment right now, and I want us just to ask this question that we have on the screen. I'm just going to give us a couple of minutes to do that. I'm going to call the worship team to come up, and we're going to get ready to worship God. We're going to worship him generously in this place. Amen? Amen. Take a moment to discuss the question. The question is, who has God called you to be generous to, and how can you show them the generosity of Jesus? Right where you are, seated. Just allow the Holy Spirit to speak to you in regards to that.
We hope you've enjoyed today's message brought to you by Every Nation Brisbane. For more information about our church, visit us on the web at ianbrisbane.org. Thank you for listening. God bless.